This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Eventually, later that day, Matt Nagy, he went and addressed the players and coaches. But the way he did it, it was almost like in a solemn way. So even afterwards, he said it's not true. Players and coaches are like, hey, Matt, it's been great.
Brings up third down and 10. Protection. Goff gets hit. Pass is caught. Touchdown, Detroit. Josh Reynolds. As the Bears start at their own 31. Down the middle. Deep shot. Moody's got it. Inside the 20 and a big play to start the drive from Andy Dalton.
They've had a hard time coming up with big plays. Chicago has. But the last 2 weeks, I mean, they have been really good, and it's been a big play offense, and now they're in position to get more points.
52 yards now, down the middle, caught, touchdown, Jimmy Graham. Protection, end zone, pass is picked, intercepted by Laurier. And that is number 5 on the year.
They're going to dink and dunk their way right down the field one way or another.
Yeah.
Hey, in the words of Hank Stram, matriculated, baby.
Pass in the end zone. It's there. Touchdown, Lions. Hawkinson. 28-yard try by Santos to win it. Good snap. Good hold. Good kick. Goodbye. Bears win it, and the 5-game losing streak is over for Chicago and Matt Nagy.
The food will have to wait, but a centerpiece. This is now yours, the silver football that's given out to the player of the game on Thanksgiving. Lift it up, Andy.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
You got it, Andy. Well done. Happy Thanksgiving.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Hopefully you spent your Thanksgiving using your meal as a palate cleanser to what you watched in the early part of the day yesterday, because the Bears and Lions was certainly a pairing that most folks would not have chosen if they had the choice, but it is what we got. I'm Jeff Meller along with Connor McKnight. We are in for Cap and J-Hood today here on ESPN 1000. Happy Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Connor, how did you consume yourself some Bears and Lions yesterday?
Oh, man, that was like taking the whole Brussels sprouts bowl and telling everyone else at Thanksgiving, don't worry, I got this. I'm just going to eat Brussels sprouts and sit over here in the corner by myself for the rest of the day. That was, man, watching the Bears and Lions do that whole thing, it's like the whole country noticed what these two teams were up to, right? I mean, you could feel it everywhere from people you watched the game with all the way down to the broadcast. The boom mic guy on the sideline was thinking, what am I doing here on Thursday morning of Thanksgiving? It's absolutely, oh, God, it was just a terrible, terrible thing.
It's always, you always hear anybody who does our job talk about how lucky we are, how we don't actually have to work. But you're right. Yesterday, a lot of people were rethinking that whole idea. They're like, I'm spending my Thanksgiving being a part of this debacle. The Bears get the win 16-14 in Detroit. And there was, honestly, I understand Matt Nagy in the postgame press conference talking like he had actually, you know, there's a huge weight off of his shoulders with a win. Because let's be honest. At no point did I, once George McCaskey came out on Wednesday, addressed the team and told them that there was no truth to the report that Mark Conkle put out on Tuesday and said that Matt Nagy was not going to be fired after the Lions game, I believed him. I wasn't expecting that. But I'll be honest, when the Bears were trailing to the Lions 14-13, it began to creep into my head. Is it possible they may find a way to actually fire him? Because what a debacle. the Lions, you find yourself the only team in professional football, I think, that the Bears beat yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, I truly believed, like, there is a possibility it was in play, despite what George McCaskey had done on Wednesday. If they actually did lose that game yesterday, I felt like there could be a possibility that Matt Nagy would be fired this weekend, despite what George McCaskey had told his players on Wednesday.
You know what, Jeff? I think that's the right place to start with this, because, you know, yesterday we all heard the report that McCaskey had said what he said, right? As you so put it, he's not going to be fired after the game on Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there they are, trailing by a point, you know, 14-13, and they had to take, what was it, 18 plays in the last 8 minutes and 30 seconds to get down there and kick the game-winning field goal. You know, just like
aided, too, of course, by back-to-back timeouts, a penalty by Dan Campbell, and a defensive alignment in the secondary where his defensive back was playing 10 yards off when the Bears only needed 4 yards for a first down.
What a horrifying team that is, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God. And just my favorite moment of the broadcast yesterday was just as Joe Buck begins to say that, like, yeah, you know, the Lions have been really close in a lot of games, and it hasn't been the penalties that have screwed them over all season long. They just go on an epic run of flag after flag. They called back, like you said it, they called back-to-back timeouts. Who doesn't know you can? Madden won't even let you do that with the controllers. You can't even call back-to-back timeouts on the video game.
Not allowed.
It doesn't let you do it. The program does not exist. No, but I was thinking, as the Bears are down one and the Lions are doing their thing, or like holding on or just being there, I thought to myself, why is this worth a promise? You know? Like,
sure.
Why is this performance, why are these results, why does this offense and this head coach and this combination of quarterback and all this kind of stuff, like, what are the Bears doing with all of the promises that they've offered this year? Did the promise to Andy Dalton to start do anything for the prospects of the Bears, either short-term or long-term? Does George McCaskey coming down and promising each and every player that they won't fire Matt Nagy Thursday after the game? It would have to be Friday, Saturday, or even after the year before we fired him. Like, what are these promises doing for this franchise? Why hold yourself to these covenants between men when there are obviously bigger issues and bigger problems and bigger fish to fry for the Chicago Bears? It's like they're not... You know, we say all the time this offense hasn't competed in the NFL really for years, right? Since Matt Nagy's gotten here, the points total and it's not been representative of what NFL offenses can do. The Raiders and Cowboys each went over 30 yesterday, and I'm not sure the Bears are aware that that's allowed to happen. But it's not just that they're not playing offense in the modern NFL; they're treating this franchise like it's not modern, with all of these promises and all of these things that we have to hold ourselves to before we even get to the football game, you know?
Yeah. No, you hit on it. And I was watching SportsCenter last night, and they put up the graphic of Matt Nagy's tenure. And as bad as it is at what you just laid out there, Connor, it's even worse when you factor in how he's actually supplemented his statistics with the 7-1 record over the Lions and the offensive output they've put on the Lions. Like, he's under 500 if you take out the 8 games where he's 7-1 against the Lions in his career as the Bears head coach. And, you know, that was what it was yesterday. Nobody felt good about it. I'm curious to the listeners out there, the Cap and J Hood listeners, 312-332-3776. How much of yesterday's game did you consume? Have you put the Bears in a pay-no-mind situation now going forward, because it is, you know, not fun to watch right now, and Andy Dalton as the quarterback with Justin Fields currently hurt? I mean, that's not appealing to anybody. You know, Allen Robinson didn't play. Khalil Mack's on injured reserve. Akeem Hicks didn't play. You know, they got Eddie Jackson back, but the truth is, it's not a fun watch right now. And I'm going to replay this because it was in the open, the montage that Tyler put together, but this stood out to me in the Fox pregame when Jay Glazer gave his report about Matt Nagy's current situation.
This report comes out, and the Bears go to walkthrough. When they went to walkthrough, it just took on a life of its own. By the time they got back from walkthrough, and the Bears, they do things old school way. They think, well, something's not true. Why should we address it? Well, in this case, they should have addressed it because it took on a life of its own. Eventually, later that day, Matt Nagy, he went and addressed the players and coaches. But the way he did it, it was almost like in a solemn way. So even afterwards, he said it's not true. Players and coaches are like, hey, Matt, it's been great. So it got to the point where the owner, George McCaskey, yesterday came into the team meeting, addressed the entire team, said, absolutely not true. He's not been informed that he's getting fired after this game. We're not saying Matt Nagy is not going to get fired at one point here, but they told the entire team that report unequivocally is not true.
Oof, listening to that, and you know, I thought you were in with Cap on Tuesday, and we were talking, or was it Tuesday or Wednesday, Connor? Remind me.
Wednesday's the day before Thanksgiving. Yeah. Wednesday, right?
Yeah. So you were in on Wednesday with Cap, and we were discussing the fact that we understood the Bears didn't necessarily. We understood their philosophy was you don't address rumors that aren't true. Like it's beneath them. There's no reason to give it credibility to breathe life to it. But as you just heard Jay Glazer point out, there are reasons when things get away from you why you need to handle it differently. And it's because of what he just said. When Matt Nagy addresses the team on Tuesday, it's in a solemn manner where the players and coaches are walking up to Matt Nagy and telling him it's been great to work with him. Not, hey, coach, we got this. Like, even if you don't believe it, there's right. something in a lot of players, athletes, who will then step up and say, no, that ain't going to happen. Not to you, coach. We're going to go out there and we're going to win this one for you. No, he got the pat on the back, the handshake. Coach, it's been great working with you, man. Loved my time with you.
We've got your back. Don't worry about it. Let's go win one for the Gipper. Not on my watch. You know, those are all things you hear athletes say, right?
Sure.
Instead, it was like, Viking funeral, put Matt Nagy out of the boat and shoot the fire arrow. Like, this was like to say as a franchise that you don't respond to every rumor and to not realize that this thing caught something. Like, this wasn't the most rock solid report, right? Like, it wasn't Jay Glazer 3 days ago saying, hey, this is gonna happen, or some, you know, big wig NFL insider, Pompey or something like that, saying like, hey, this is what I've got, and this is how it's going to work. But it did have some repute to it, right? And at the same time, to look at what happened around it and not include your players' thoughts in your estimation of whether or not we need to make some sort of observation around this. Remember, Jeff, Allen Robinson's podcast partner also had a report about Jordan Schultz, correct? I don't want to get
this. Yes, you are correct. Jordan Schultz.
He also had a report about how so many Bears players were already starting to flip on Matt Nagy and the coaching staff and believe that there was no hope there either, right? Now, I don't know if that report is true either, but there's clearly smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And for the whole organization to look at all of that smoke and say, well, there's no way that thing whips itself up into a fire before we take on the Lions on Thursday, it's just, like, come on, you've got 53 guys in that locker room that also have Twitter. What's happening? The ESPN Chicago app is probably on some of their phones. It streams live. All you've got to do is press the button and you get the station. It's, these guys don't live with their heads in the sands. Not enough of them.
No, of course. And we're at a point now where I truly believe they found the only organization in pro football that they could have beat yesterday with the effort that they gave. And it certainly wasn't a ringing endorsement to bring Matt Nagy back at this point. It seems to me fait accompli. George McCaskey can deny the reports that Matt Nagy was going to be fired this weekend no matter what. If they changed course because of the report, we will never know. But the reality is that it seems like Matt Nagy is, I don't see a scenario where he can pull himself out of this one. He's done. The only question is, should Ryan Pace be done? And with what we saw yesterday, I think most people already, a lot of Bears fans out there think Ryan Pace should be done as well. But I think there's plenty of folks up at Hallis Hall who like the job that Ryan Pace has done for whatever reason. And there's been a conversation about keeping him in the organization. My question, which I'd like to address next with you, Connor, is should Ryan Pace go as well? We'll do that on Cap and Jay Hood.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
As Ryan and I do this thing together, You know, they rallied around all of us. You know what I mean? And not just me, the coaches, there's a lot of, in the coaching world, you have assistant coaches, right? So we're all a part of this thing. And so their players are, you know, we're all working together here. And I think that's what's impressive.
Matt Nagy addressing the media yesterday after the Bears victory over the Lions on Thanksgiving Day at Ford Field, a 16-14 thriller. I'm Jeff Meller along with Connor McKnight today on the Cap and Jay Hood Show, talking with you 312-332-3776 about the Bears franchise, the absolute debacle. You heard him in that soundbite mention he and Ryan are in this together. I'm not so sure that's actually the case. I mean, I know that's the front they like to put on, Connor, but the reality is that I feel pretty confident you would have to put on more than a convincing case to lay out the plan for how Matt Nagy retains his job at the end of the year. However, that is not necessarily the same case for Ryan Pace, but what we saw yesterday on the field is as much an indictment of Ryan Pace as it is Matt Nagy, in my mind.
Yeah, I don't think these two are Thelma and Louise headed over the gulch at the end of the movie, right? I don't think these two are clasping hands and saying we're going out together. That's just not really how the NFL works. I don't like to call for jobs much anymore. You know, like early on in a sports radio career, and I'm sure you feel at least somewhat similar in a lot of cases. Like if we're just talking about the job at hand, right? Not outside the line stuff, not stuff where it's, you know, you get the lives of human beings involved, sure, into some conversations, right? Like stuff with the Blackhawks, that's a different conversation altogether. But when we talk about like just doing jobs and making sure you're you know, the best in the business and providing playoff opportunities for your team and stuff, I don't like to call for jobs that often. I really don't. But you know, at this point, I do have some rules for my NFL GM.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of them has to be you kind of only get one quarterback if you're doing this whole rebuild thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you traded up for Mitch. That didn't work. We can point to a lot of different reasons why it didn't, not the least of which would be Mitch Trubisky wasn't the guy Ryan Pace thought he was. And at that point, you know, the NFL is one thing. It's really, truly, the NFL is one position. That's what this is.
Yep.
In regards to the salary cap and team building, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, you need the other 10 guys for sure. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have that quarterback, what are we doing here?
No, I listen, you hit on it exactly. And it wasn't always that way. Look, the NFL.
No, it wasn't. It absolutely wasn't.
It used to be, there was a time, you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s and far before that, when you could win football games with your defense, you know, with a strong running game, you could lean on a guy like Walter Payton to carry your offense.
That's right.
But the game has evolved now to the point where, you know, it goes without saying that it was done deliberately, but the rules to keep quarterbacks safe and also enhance their play has now vaulted them to the point where quarterbacks are on – they're the same level as NBA superstars. Like, I don't know how much people have noticed this, but when Fox gives you the graphic, you know, if you're watching a noon game, which we frequently are on Fox, of the Bears, you'll oftentimes see they'll show you the NFL schedule to come for the rest of the weekend, what the marquee game is at 3:30, the 7 o'clock, you know, NBC game, and then the Monday Nighter. And what you will always see is in, you know, the superhero cartoon graphic that Fox has now glommed onto, the quarterback of the team in those marquee games. It's almost exclusively always the quarterback. And it's because you can't even, no matter how hard you try, if you're giving me two NFL teams, right, there's always going to be a more famous quarterback, mm-hmm, that you're going to want to spotlight, because the vast majority of NFL fans, that's who they're going to know. You know, everyone's like, I guess the Titans, they might give you Derrick Henry when he was healthy. You
right.
know, and that was about it, though. The reality is it's always the quarterbacks. They've become the NBA superstars of the NFL. And it's been done deliberately because of the rules. And to your point, once you miss as a GM, everything is geared around that guy. And I'm sorry, but when you have a top 10 pick and with Mitch Trubisky, a top 2 pick, and you miss as bad as you did, when you have two guys sitting right behind you who would have been better by far, well, yeah, you probably shouldn't get a second roll of the dice at it, right? But he has already gotten that. And to be honest, I don't give Ryan Pace a whole lot of credit for trading an additional first-round pick to go up and get Justin Fields. All that says to me is, well, now you've put yourself in a position where you've invested more capital in the next franchise quarterback who you hope is the franchise quarterback, but you've done so at an opportunity cost, which is next year's first-round pick, which the Giants have.
Yep. Yeah, that's. I think that's the right way to look at it, too. There's a second part of that, too, right? We talked about this, you and I, with Cap on Wednesday. There is one easiest way to win in the NFL right now. And I'm not saying that it is an easy direction, just that it's easier than the others, right? It's winning with a good quarterback on his rookie contract, because that makes managing the rest of the salary cap a hell of a lot easier. The most expensive position in the sport, the quarterback, is one that's taken care of on a rookie deal. So if you're able to do that, you've got yourself a real chance. This is how the Seahawks built themselves into a Super Bowl winner with Russell Wilson on a rookie contract. You know, this is how, you know, for a while the Rams were set up with Jared Goff on a rookie contract. There are others that I'm probably blanking on, mostly because of the Thanksgiving turkey hangover. But
the Eagles won a Super Bowl with Carson Wentz as their quarterback, and obviously Foles came in. But the truth of it is, the reason that team was a one seed was because of what they had surrounded Carson Wentz with.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And I just, like, what has Ryan Pace shown you as a GM that he can right quick get this roster turned around for next year, or even, you know, the majority of Justin Fields' rookie contract? Because everybody looks at Fields, and there are some Bears fans who go, I don't know if you've got the next one there or not. Like, it's pretty obvious that he's got a shot to be a top 10 quarterback. He's got to get there, right? Mm-hmm. And he needs the weapons around him to do so, and a coaching staff that understands it. All of those things, yes, of course. But he's going to need a roster that also helps him, or at least, you know, isn't the defense that the Bears have run out there the last 2 weeks without Khalil Mack, or really even the 3 weeks before he left for the rest of the season. I don't know that Ryan Pace is this quick fix guy. And if he's not, then this whole thing has to be rescoped, and the next GM's got to be brought in who has the greatest plan to turn this thing around on the fly and win with Justin Fields. That's a difficult job. It's not the hardest one in the NFL, but it's difficult, and it's not one that I think you see anybody trusting Ryan Pace with.
And you know what's interesting is, even for the guy who actually may end up being his biggest hit as a draft picker, a draft selector, Darnell Mooney, who was on full display yesterday. You know, for the last couple weeks, Darnell Mooney has showed you that he is the best wide receiving option the Bears have when Allen Robinson is not in the lineup. And he's trying to make the argument that, hey, even when Allen Robinson's in the lineup, I'm the most explosive player. But the truth is, at 5'11", 173 pounds, I love Darnell Mooney. He is not somebody who can be the focal point of your passing game. You need more around him. And so even when Darnell Mooney is doing what he's doing yesterday and the previous week against the Ravens, still, it just shows it's a glaring spotlight on the rest of the position that's not surrounding Darnell Mooney. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Allen Robinson can't play yesterday because of the hamstring injury that he's dealing with, all of a sudden you're like, Darnell Mooney is the only receiver out on the field who you have any confidence in.
Well, I love the way you brought up Mooney and put it in context there, Jeff, because I think that's spot on. And I thought the same thing about Cole Kmet yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a couple of, you know, whether you're scrolling around on Twitter or you're hearing, you know, Aikman talk about Kmet, like, oh, 8 catches, 65 yards, 11 targets, right? That's okay, good. Like, to me, that is bare minimum for the tight end that you traded up into the second round for, or traded up in the second round for, against a hot garbage Lions defense. Like, yeah, he damn sure better have had 11 targets and 8 receptions. Like, if you had Cole Kmet on your fantasy team for some reason, you should have been walking in going, yeah, I got it. PPR league, I'm all set. Maybe I get a score. Andy Dalton, so probably not. But maybe I get a score and we're all good. This is bare minimum stuff for the offense.
And meanwhile, conversely, in the game following it, Dalton Schultz, the tight end for the Cowboys, who was selected in the late fourth round.
That's right.
So, you know, certainly not a second round pick, is out there scoring the game tying touchdown and game tying conversion for 2 points, and doing what you expect your tight end who's out on the field to do. Let's go on out to Texas. Justin watched yesterday's game, and I don't think he was thrilled about what he saw. Justin, you're on with Connor McKnight and Jeff Miller on the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Hey, Connor, Jeff, first, I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving to you and your families. And with that being said, you're right, I wasn't thrilled, to be honest. I mean, it was the Lions. We're supposed to beat the Lions. Everybody else in the league has beat the Lions, hence why they haven't won a game yet. Like, come on now, this is. It's, I feel like this team does just enough to get back. They'll lose 6 or 7 games in a row, and I'm just being sarcastic. They'll lose 6 or 7 games in a row, but then come back and beat the Lions, and, oh, okay, we're back in the win column, and everybody else should just, you know, take the win. Nah, like, it's the coaching. And I think it's beyond Matt Nagy now. It's Chad Phillips and George McCaskey. They don't really care about the team. They don't care about the fan base. And I think that, you know, I think Nagy will be back, to tell you the truth.
Oh, Justin.
Last year and the year prior to that, we were having the same conversation, and he ended up coming back. But I'll just let you all dissect that. I hope you all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate the phone call. Boy, oh, boy. Connor, I cannot see the scenario. Like because I can't wrap my head around the Bears running off, what would it be, 7 straight victories now here to close the season? I cannot wrap my head around that idea. And that, to me, is the only way that Matt Nagy actually salvages his job.
I can't either, like, not even a little bit. But don't get me wrong, I also see where Justin's coming from, because he and you and I are all watching the Bears. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, but we have to divorce ourselves from that. At this point, right, when you hear McCaskey having to go to his team and give them the reassurance that, listen, we can discuss this. We have plenty of time to do so. This is the Cap and Jay Hood Show. He's Connor McKnight. I'm Jeff Miller. We're taking your calls, too. I see Aaron, plenty of others, too. 312-332-3776. I promise we'll get you in. We will dissect all of this up next on ESPN 1000.
Cap. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
As the Bears start at their own 31, down the middle, deep shot, Mooney's got it! Inside the 20, and a big play to start the drive from Andy Dalton.
With a big play there, continues his run of solid performances for the Chicago Bears with a 16-14 win over the Lions yesterday, their fourth of the season. A huge relief to Matt Nagy and, I imagine, the entire organization. I'm Jeff Miller along with Connor McKnight. We are in today for Cap and Jay Hood on a Bears Monday taking place on a Black Friday today, Connor.
Yeah, I think that's how that works. Hey, I know. Can I come clean real quick?
Please.
I mentioned something in the meeting with you and Tyler that I've yet to say to everybody out here, and I just feel like it's important I get real with folk. I watched yesterday's Bears game last night on DVR. I skipped through the commercials, I did everything. And the reason I did that, I woke up Thanksgiving morning with a migraine, one that was going to split my head apart. You know the one, right, Jeff? And we've talked about this before.
So yes.
The one that just...
You've discussed it. I'll admit, I don't think I've ever actually had a migraine, especially because I've long been a Terrell Davis supporter. He was one of my favorite players
sure.
as I was growing up. So, like, knowing the history of or knowing a little bit about migraines and how they're not actually headaches. I know some people think headache is a migraine. No. So I don't believe I've actually suffered from a migraine, but I will hearing you talk about it, please feel free. I think you probably chose the best route and the way to watch the Bears game.
Well, I think I might have. I think I might have lucked out. I think the migraine might have been the best thing that happened to my NFL fandom yesterday. A migraine is not a headache. A migraine, I think the technical medical definition of a migraine is the thing that starts at the top of your head and threatens to rip your soul from your body.
Mm.
I think that's what a migraine actually is.
Sounds like the medical definition.
Yeah, I think that's the medical word. So I was laid out on the couch up until about 1 o'clock, and then finally got myself, I put the pieces of my soul back into my body very slowly, took a shower, and managed to head out to Thanksgiving and see some family. Got back home and ended up watching the game. And I'm fast forwarding through plays, and I watched the Lions go down the field and score. And I knew that they'd won it While I was watching it, I wasn't able to escape, you know, because your phone gets push notifications and your family is just like, oh, the Bears won, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you'll find whatever. I they should have beat the Lions. I wasn't watching with any suspense, right? Nobody ruined anything for me. There were no teaser alerts or anything like that.
God, I hope Santos hits this field goal.
Right? Yeah, nothing. I'm like cold and emotionless. I have
Before I disrupt your story too much more. Was that what was really going through his fans' heads yesterday? Or were they thinking, like me, God, I hope he misses this one?
Well, and that's the thing, man. I'm watching this, and I know he's going to hit the field goal late at night. I know where it's going. And in my head, I'm going, but maybe he could miss? I just kind of want this thing over.
Yeah.
Don't you? Like, yeah. Don't Bears fans? Doesn't everybody just kind of watching this think, it's time. It's time now. It's time for this to be over.
I hate when we get to this point in a Bears season where there's still, again, you know, six games left on the schedule. One more now that they have 17 games, and it's going to be a slog. The good news is that I can, in some ways, I can separate the Bears and still consume the rest of the NFL product and be happy. Especially because, you know, I'm so tied to fantasy football. As people know, I do the fantasy football show on Sunday mornings.
Of course, and a hell of a job with it.
Thank you. Thank you, Connor. You do a pretty good job on Sox games yourself. But I can still consume the rest of the NFL, but it is not fun watching the Bears game. And that's it. We're at that point where, you know, and you mentioned it earlier, the entire nation was just having, that was Twitter yesterday. I guess you were, since you were dealing with the migraine, yeah. I was dealing with all the pot shots from every national pundit on Twitter, like, take it off our screen. The NFL needs to cancel Lions Bears Thanksgiving games going forward. That was the resounding, you know, sound from everybody who was participating on Twitter. And it was not good at all. And I hate the fact that we're already here before the calendar has even flipped to December. Let's try Aaron, who's in Elmhurst. He actually is fond of Darnell Mooney, like we all are, I think. But to Aaron, it looks like you're going to go ahead and throw out a comp there that I'm going to have to slow everyone's roll on.
Uh-oh. Good morning, gentlemen. You guys do a great job of filling in for Cap and Hoodie. Hope you guys had a Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it would have been great, except I had the crazy idea of inviting everyone over as friends and family over. I would have felt a little rude if I told them, you know, to get the heck out because I didn't want to watch the Bears game anymore. Because, anyways. So, yeah, I just think that Darnell Mooney, you know, he's a little guy. And he's got some speed, though. He seems to run routes pretty well and make big plays. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Tyreek Hill. So I just wanted to make the point. He could be that guy for the Bears, especially going with Justin Fields' deep ball. You know, you just got to work on his hands a little bit more, I guess. No pun intended. But, I just want to get your thoughts on that. Thanks.
So my initial thought is, listen, that is it. Body wise, you know, size, I can understand the comp. The difference is, though, that Tyreek Hill, in terms of athletes, is just, you know, he is, you're talking about the most explosive receiver in the NFL since, I'll go out and say, since Randy Moss was at his height. That's what you're talking about when you're talking about Tyreek Hill. So size-wise, like, and I don't want to diminish what Darnell Mooney can be in this league. I think Tyreek Hill, he'll never be Tyreek Hill. But that doesn't mean that he can't be a 1/1A wide receiver for your team going forward. I think he's proving that with each passing game, Connor. But the only, you know, let's just, when you say Tyreek Hill, you're talking about a guy who in all likelihood is going to be a Hall of Famer when his career is over and the type of player that the entire Kansas City Chiefs offense, the reason they operate so well is basically because how he's able to open up the field for guys like Travis Kelce underneath.
Yeah, that's right. That's the bingo here, right? The offense cannot be constructed around Darnell Mooney, not right now and probably not at any one point in his career going forward. Maybe. I hope so. You know, I hope I'm wrong. But that's the other thing, too. Wasn't there, Jeff, you'd know this better than I would, but Tyreek Hill, like, either didn't run the 40 at the combine or at his pro day, I mean. So there's still some rumor around it. But the dude runs a 4.2. Mooney's a 4.38. That's still very fast. But 4.2 is so much faster. I mean, it's not even
it's the fast twitch ability, like what you see Tyreek Hill do. Like, and listen, again, today is not the day in any way to diminish Darnell Mooney. You know, I just, when people throw out
the
Tyreek Hill comp, I just want them to understand that I'm being completely serious. I think Tyreek Hill is the most explosive wide receiver since Randy Moss was in his heydays. And then, you know, that's about as high a praise as I can give. So, but Darnell Mooney, again, he can be a very good player, but again, they beat the Lions yesterday, 16-14. So his 123 yards that he compiled after a 121 yard game against the Ravens is great. But somebody's going to have to catch the ball if Andy Dalton's going to throw for 300 yards, right? And Darnell Mooney's going to be that guy.
And they're slightly different players too, right? I mean, when you look at Mooney and Hill, Aaron brought up the hands of Mooney. I would say Mooney's hands are better than Tyreek Hill's right now. I mean, you look at the way that each of them catch the ball. A lot of what Tyreek Hill does is with the body, whereas Mooney will go up and get a ball.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think, too, these often, and this is kind of been, you know, Tyler, you brought it up, they're different players. I think these guys are being asked to do a little bit different things, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and this is the knock, against Nagy. It's just like a... It's like a faded copy of Kansas City's offense. It's not the real thing. There are so many routes where guys are just running left and right across the field. You know, there's just not a lot of threat vertically. And leave aside, like, they're playing the Lions and it's Andy Dalton and you've got to beat up, you know, this, that, or whatever. Like, should they have gone downfield a little bit more yesterday? That's not really the point here. Just look at the whole of Matt Nagy's offense. There's so many drag routes and there's so many, you know, like just like inside breakers when you need six that are run for 4.5 yards and nobody can stretch the ball out over the first down line. Like it's that kind of offense. And the Chiefs will get Tyreek Hill up the damn field.
Yeah.
And the Bears just don't do that. And whether they've had weapons that are better than what they look like or not, this offense seems like it's got the restrictor plate on it always. It always seems like it's just not clicking at every gear.
Yeah, no, I hear you. There's, you know, and Darnell Mooney, very happy with what we've seen from him, and I think there's a bright future for him. But I guess when we get down to brass tacks here, for me, it's that Mooney, as good as he may be able to be in this league, you're going to need more compliments around him if you're going to be a winning football team. Let's try Jim, who's in Downers Grove. Jim, you're on the Cap and Jay Hood show.
Hey, good morning. So kind of that restrictor plate goes right to what I was going to ask you guys about. I think it's based on the strength of the offensive line, same with the defensive line. I was listening to the game yesterday, and they kept talking about how great the Bears' offensive line was playing. They said it a few times. So I think, are they really playing that great? Because I don't think they are, and I think that of all the things that are underestimated is the line, and I'd like your opinion on that.
So I've been encouraged, Connor, with what I've seen from the Bears' offensive line this season, especially when you consider how the season began. Now, yesterday, I don't know, like, you know, again, their reluctance to run the football in a game where I think you probably could have done more of that. Would have been helpful, right? And again, that goes to the coach.
But like cut, copy, paste, right? What game haven't we said that about with Matt Nagy?
Mm. Yeah, pick one. Like, I don't think there's no game we can't point to and said, you know what?
What was the one? Was it against Denver 2 years ago where he went out there and just ran the ball like 57 times? Like, that's the one, right? It was a game against the Broncos in Denver where he came out and just ran the ball 48 times or something like that. But
yeah.
That was just, he just wanted to piss everybody off. That's all he was looking to do.
Yeah, but I will say I've been encouraged by, you know, the way James Daniels has played this season. Jason Peters now, he's not, I would assume he probably won't be back next year, but I guess you can't rule anything out at this point because of you will have to see what Tevin Jenkins can actually do for you on the football field. But, you know, I've been a little bit encouraged by what they've been able to do with the offensive line, considering the shape that it came in to start the year. So that actually could be a spot where you don't have to, you know, have a complete overhaul going forward for the next head coach. And, you know, again, I get back to who will be picking the players next season for the Bears. Will it be Ryan Pace?
Well, that's the thing. I think the highest praise we can give the offensive line is it might be just fine for Justin Fields next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's not that's not great. You know, it's not the Cowboys of 2-3 years ago with everybody up and down the line being great, or you know, the Cowboys of yesteryear where you've got five all pros on that line getting an all-time rusher to beat a record. Like, it's not that, but it could be fine. This defense could be okay next year. The skill positions, like you've talked about with when Justin called about Darnell Mooney, like, it's just not there. It's,
yeah.
Those things aren't there. And, yeah, a good quarterback makes guys around him better, the threats around him better. And I guess to a certain degree offensive linemen too, although it's, you know, a bigger impact with tight ends and wide receivers. But even, you know, Justin Fields could be the second coming, and you're still not going to ask this guy to make – his wide receiving core in 2022 into a group of Tyreek Hills. Like, that's too much to ask anybody, right?
Yeah. Up next, something that you may have missed, something you didn't think was possible to get wrong. The Bears found a way. Next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bah, bah, bah,
bah, bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Well, something that generally is fairly easy to handle was not as easy as it should have been yesterday, and Fox and Joe Buck made a point to point it out to the audience as Christian Jones, who was the Bears' designated captain who handled the coin flip yesterday, did not do exactly what should have been done when it unfolded. Here it is, courtesy of Fox.
Detroit has won the toss and elected to defer. Chicago, you want the ball? You want the ball?
I want to defer.
They defer. You want the ball. You want the ball. Which way do you want to kick? Chicago will receive at this end. Good luck.
That is an all-timer. Christian Jones, he wanted to defer. He didn't care what had already happened.
No. That may have been the only moment where Troy and Joe were actually happy yesterday on the podcast, Connor, because yeah, you saw the smile. You could hear the smile in Troy as he was laughing at Christian Jones, who wanted to defer despite the fact that the Lions had already deferred.
Oh, you got me there. That was funny. I think they were so unimpressed by being there, weren't they? Well, Joe Buck and Troy. I can't believe we're here either.
I think Joe Buck's final call summed it up, right?
Yeah.
28-yard try by Santos to win it. Good snap, good hold, good kick, goodbye. Bears win it, and the five-game losing streak is over for Chicago and Matt Nagy.
Yeah, you know, and so it's weird because, listen, I like Joe Buck a lot. I know
he
catches a lot of hate from people. And that's what people do on Twitter. You know, they'll throw out their hate and they're happy to critique everything and anything, never having done the job. But I actually do enjoy Joe Buck a lot. I will say yesterday, though, I do think he and Troy Aikman may have pushed it a little too far to the point where I felt like they were playing to the folks on Twitter, on social media, who were reacting to their call,
yeah,
showing you how much disdain they had for the idea that the Bears and Lions were their marquee game on Thanksgiving. Of course, you and I, we're going to break it down and talk about how disgusting it was for the national audience to consume, but we're in Chicago. We're pointing out that the national audience has to take in what we've been taking in now for 11 weeks and have at it. Have, you know, take a gander at this and just be happy your franchise is not ours. But I do wonder if when Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are calling that game on Thanksgiving, no less. Like, it's one thing if, I guess they don't ever, maybe it's because they're in the plum position of never having bad games for the most part because they're the A crew. I mean, I felt like they went a little bit too far playing to the Twitter audience as opposed to the 90% of national audience at their holiday gatherings that are not on Twitter, that are just consuming the football game.
I think you're right. It was harsh at times. I think it deserved a harsh broadcast, but there's a difference between your Thanksgiving Day games and week 15 or week 8, right? Mm-hmm. Just this, the bad game, the flop on Sunday afternoon, or the 325 game or whatever. Like Al Michaels on his broadcast, like he gets a stinker. He gets sour fast, and mm-hmm. you can hear it. He just doesn't want to be there. And that's when, you know, before sports gambling was legal everywhere, he would start talking about the spread or all this other kind of stuff that you're not, you know, quote unquote, not supposed to talk about. I'm doing the air quotes with my hands, but you can't see that on radio. I think it did get a little salty, but I'm with you. Overall, I like Joe Buck. I have no problem with him, but you could tell that what's Joe Buck's best call? Is it going back? Is it like the homage, the hat tip that he gave to his dad's call?
That was the first.
See you tomorrow night.
We'll see you tomorrow night. Yeah, that you're right. I think that when he called, it was the Rangers and Cardinals, right?
Yeah, Rangers and Cardinals. I think that's at David Freese series.
Correct.
Right?
When he forced a game seven with a walk-off home run in game six, an homage to his father, the late Jack Buck, who had called the walk-off home run in the Braves Twins series way back in, was it 91, right? I think.
Yes.
When the Twins forced a game seven at the Metrodome. Go ahead.
And even Buck then, like, you know, he makes this call and people are like, oh, you're just ripping off your dad's call. It's like, oh, really? Is your dad one of the greatest sports
yes,
broadcasters
exactly.
to ever live, to whom you can tip the hat? Oh, it really? Your dad is that guy too? It was a beautiful call. But like the difference between Joe Buck's and we'll see you tomorrow night and kicks up, it's in goodbye. Like there's a wide gulf there, right?
Yeah,
There should have been.
Yeah, and I have no problem with him and Troy being very critical throughout the game. Of both teams. I do think, though, it went a little too far with that final call, because there, at that point, it's like, okay, well, if you're so happy to get the hell out of there, why am I, as the viewer, consuming this? Why should I? I know you're in on the, you're trying to let us know that you're in on the joke and you understand it, but the reality is the call for me, that's the final call. You just got to be a little more professional in that moment. But again, I'm generally a big fan of Joe Buck.
I'm with you there. I do think, though, like, let's look at the flip side of this. Like, Troy Aikman, for all the mistakes the Lions made and all the penalties they started grabbing, the back-to-back timeouts issue and all that stuff, Troy Aikman did not take the easy road and just kind of stay quiet or let the game move on or let Joe do play-by-play. He told you why this was wrong, what Campbell ought to be doing instead. Like, he pointed out some of the decisions that weren't made and should have been made and still analyzed the game. And even, like, it's not Troy's fault that the Lions and or Bears, and in a lot of situations it was both, are making bad football decisions. He told you, hey, this is going on. It shouldn't be. I don't get this at all. What is happening? You know, like, he didn't take the easy road in what could have been a very simple spot to take it in a bad football game like that. I thought, you know, some of the mistakes the Lions were making and Dan Campbell makes as a coach, it's just like, jeez, what
we
is
thought we
happening
had it bad.
Here?
The Lions trying to make Bears fans feel better about their Thanksgiving. We do have to devote a little bit of time to that. I'd like to spend a little more time. I don't want to rush it here, Connor. He's
for
Connor
sure.
McKnight. I'm Jeff Meller. This is the Cap and Jay Hood Show. Up next, it is my favorite part of the Cap and Jay Hood Show. It's Shot or No Shot in 2 minutes.